legislature, we started with 1.56%. But as you can see, just a few years later, it was only 0%. So our funding formula in 16-17, as an example, was dependent on our particular factors here at the local level. At the state level, it was zero. One thing that I'd want to point out with that year specifically, the pension cost just for STRS alone went from 10.73 to 12.58%. So just that gap and that difference in that percentage, school districts didn't receive COLA to even support that, let alone the subsequent assumptions that we have with ongoing consumer price index changes with different supplies and categories of services. So it's something to keep in mind. It's key to the narrative of how we get funding and how we spend our dollars. What I'd like to highlight here is going into 18-19, LCFF, or Local Control Funding Formula, is fully implemented. This is one of Governor Brown's top, or was one of Governor Brown's top priorities. It's tied to his legacy as governor. And it was intended to be fully implemented by 2020-21. Certainly, we welcome that it's been accelerated by two additional years. But just something to also put in perspective is LCFF gets school districts back to 2007-08 levels, funding levels. So it's not the same dollar where we are at today. Purchasing power changes over the course of over those 10, 11 years. So it's something to keep in mind in terms of how it's not the time value of money, but also most importantly too is in 2007 and 2008, school districts did not have the pension liabilities that they have today. So I've always said it's an additional obligation that was given to school districts after 13-14 came into effect in the subsequent year in 14-15, which is a new obligation. So it starts to create additional stress and competition for the dollars and how we prioritize our dollars accordingly. This next slide shows too Proposition 98 funding. That overall is what school districts receive. So when we talk about what's involved in that pot of money or what's allocated, different things, different grants, different requests come to be, such as what we've seen in years past, educator effectiveness grant came out of the one-time monies. But any proposals of shifting dollars, a couple years ago there was discussion about increasing special ed given the increased services. It ultimately comes from the same pot of money. So what was included in the 18-19 budget for school districts was $78 billion. And again, you see that escalation of funds, but just to keep in mind too, local control funding formula collapsed about 40 categoricals that existed prior to 13-14. And kind of as part of that factor as well. So not just restoring dollars to 2007 and 2008 levels, but also collapsing and providing more flexibility to schools through the LCAP to provide and assign dollars according to the needs of the school district. And this here is just another graph of showing those dollars and where things now that, and again, the economics that the state allowed for and with the governor's commitment and the state legislature's commitment allowed to accelerate the implementation. But as you see now with 18-19 and the subsequent years, things are now starting to plateau. And so there's great opportunity for continued advocacy, continued conversation around the base grant. I know there's been different bills that have been introduced in this past year. But if we can continue those conversations, because the pension costs, again, as I will note on a subsequent slide, will continue to increase over the next few years. And not just the pension, there are numerous other costs that will need to be factored in as increases. This slide here just provides that historical perspective of the district's enrollment, because certainly this is our revenue source. And as you can see, during the time frame that LCFF was implemented, we've seen gradual declining enrollment, and this is not something new to districts within the county or the state. I think we've been probably on that tail end of that decline, but there's been incremental decreases. We've been working very closely in our facilities team with our feeder schools so that we get the latest information, so that way we start to do our planning. That information is key as to what they have in terms of data and information. One thing, again, that I would like to point out because of the ADA, that last year of 17-18, my understanding was there were some changes there because you see a significant drop, and hopefully it'll normalize over time, was the work associated or the identification of the independent study. So you'll see that decrease. So that's hopefully just a one-year change. So aside from the local control funding formula basis, here are the other factors that we took into account in reviewing the budget. And so federal is another funding source. We kept that pretty static. That relates to what's known as our MA money, Medi-Cal, or kind of the medical reimbursements that we get for certain services that we claim. And so we kept that pretty conservative and flat for the current year and then the out years. This also depicts what I mentioned earlier, the one-time discretionary dollars. This is what, it's about 6.8. What was shared with the board back in June was over $12 million. So this particular revision notes that adjustment. As you see, the out years, we do from a conservative standpoint, based on the feedback we get from various agencies, Department of Finance or School Services of California, we do have zero noted. Please note that could change when we get the new governor's budget come January. There could be some one-time monies. Again, it's something we need to track to see how cash receipts or all the tax revenues are coming in, and perhaps we might see something there. So it's not a guarantee. So we just want to note that. The lottery monies, the mandate block grant monies, those are all, again, noted from the governor's budget. So we've got those dollars and what we anticipate receiving from the district based on the current ADA. One new item that we've noted on here that, again, we were not aware of at the time because it was included in the approved budget was the low-performing student block grant. That is part of Dr. Shirley Weber's bill that she introduced, and that was included in the budget. It's for about $300 million. It's going to be allocated amongst schools. We had conversations with the California Department of Education because it is still evolving. The final details have not completely materialized, but from what the CDE shared with us, the last proposal was about $1,900 per student. So we estimate based on our student population that we will receive about $2.2 million. Now again, that there might be some changes in the out year budgets, but that's not something we're aware of at this point, but we do know the district will be receiving some funds there. And then the next items are just in terms of interest, which come into play when we do the interfund borrowing, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And the other are transfers in, small amounts that we get from other funds, such as our developer fees for admin. This next slide covers our salaries, so our step in column for certificated staff, for our classified staff, kind of an average of what we look at the population of employees. So that's included in our current and our out year projections. And then the next section are those pension contributions that I mentioned earlier. As you can see, STIRS this year went up from a little over 14% to 16.28%. And then the next year, as noted, and currently STIRS is statutory. It's set by the state legislature. And it's set to 19.10% through 2021. Certainly the state legislature can revisit that at that point in time and make modifications. PERS, on the other hand, is set annually by their board, and you can see that's actually a little higher than STIRS. And as the projections that we've seen in further years in the 2020s, we've seen ranges up to 26 to 28%. So these particular costs or these contributions by employers, we're not seeing a decrease. That's certainly an escalating cost, something to keep in mind in our out-year projections. Health and welfare premiums, there's some slight changes here. We've had conversations with our benefits team. We'll continue to have those conversations during the first and second interims, and then again, budget development for 19-20. We do have district-wide per our bargaining agreements a little over $14,000 cap, but there is just a factor that we factor in based on our VEBA participation and if there's any rates to the plans. So there's a slight factor there. And then, as I mentioned earlier, too, these are our materials and supplies and contracted services, CPI, or Consumer Price Index. As you can see, those numbers are hovering about what we got for cost of living adjustment. So, again, not factoring in from the other costs. Utilities, we also increased that budget, given where we saw the actuals were in 17-18, because we had the installation of the HVAC and across the district, and we saw increased demand. So that is one area that we did increase in the budget revision, And we've been working very closely with our facilities team, with our director of maintenance, to periodically look at this data. Matter of fact, I've got a report today from staff that was shared with both the director and I to kind of see where the projections are headed, so we can continually monitor that. The next section is our transfers out and our contributions. So adult education is Fund 11 and cafeteria is Fund 13. These funds receive different funding outside of the general fund. These are set up accordingly. They're independent of the general fund. They receive their own block grants, or they submit through the U.S. Department of Agriculture through the CDE for the cafeteria. The intent is for those funds to be self-sustainable. And that's what we'd like them to be in terms of the districts, you know, and how we can support those programs. Back in June, the adult ed had about $2 million contribution from the general fund. That is, again, those programs have to balance, and when they don't balance, general fund comes in and pitches in. So it takes financial resources from the general fund. These are areas that we certainly value and will continue to work with those programs on, but the intent with what we're presenting to the board is that we'd like for them to work accordingly to see if they can manage their budgets with less reliance on the general fund.